Good morning. Good morning. Well, I have to be honest, I kind of feel like a message has already been preached with them testimonies this morning. Amen. Because I was over there in my zone, like, oh, yes, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is, I appreciate that. That everybody doesn't share, you know, God is moving. We pray, and it's important to not just bring our prayer requests, but to bring our praise reports. Yeah. Amen. Because we overcome with that. We over the revelation, it says that they overcame by the word, exactly, the word of their testimonies. Amen. Well, before we get started, I want to pray. Just thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for everything that we have witnessed, that we've experienced thus far, Father God. You're already in the midst, Father God. We don't need to invoke your presence, Lord, because you're already here. And so we thank you this morning, Father God, for you resting with us, Father God, for you supping with us, Father God, for you being with us throughout this week, Father God, that you've already been answering prayers. Hallelujah. That you've already been looking out for our children. Thank you, God. That you've already, Father God, been opening doors that no man can shut. And so we thank you for that this morning, for sending your angels, oh God, for protecting, hallelujah, for looking out when we couldn't see, God. We thank you that you are our eyes, hallelujah. We glorify you this morning, God, and we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank God and amen. Amen. I appreciate you all allowing me to come and grace your pulpit this morning. As I've watched over the years of Pastor Freddie and his wife as well, pastoring over the church has been such a tremendous blessing to see how things have moved forward. Some people look and they count moving forward as numbers, but I count moving forward as maturity. Amen. Because you can have a lot of numbers, but if everybody in there is a baby, what do you really have? Amen. So I thank God for the maturity that's coming about in this place, and how you all go out into the workplaces, into the schools, into the community, and you make a difference. Amen. With the people that you come in contact with. And so that's why when he go just into the post office and say, good morning, I know I need to give you this card so you can see who I am, but she said more than just thank you for the card, but she also said, can I hold on to it, because I'm looking for a place. And there, even though she didn't directly say it, Pastor Freddie, what she really meant by that was that I see something in you that makes me feel like if I come to your church, amen, y'all don't know when to shout, if I come to your church, that I'm going to receive something from the Lord, because you're already exhibiting that in who you are and how you interacting with me today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. I will get through my message, Sister Beverly, just to let you know, because I know she back there saying something right now. If you all want to go with me to Deuteronomy 2, we're going to only read the first 7 verses. Amen. And set up our sermon message for this morning. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. That's what I have here for the message. And it says, and then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me. And we skirted Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward. And command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Amen. Amen. You all can take your seats. Amen. I appreciate the reverence for standing as we read the word of God together. Amen. Since it's Youth Sunday, I'm not really a youth minister per se, so this is going to be a little bit of a challenge for me. I'm praying that God will minister to the children today and amen. Glory to your name, God. It's all on him. It's not on me. It's on him this morning. So, but since it's Youth Sunday, I thought I would start with a little children's story that, you know, about a brother and sister that you all might like to hear and the kids should be able to relate to. Amen. So there was a brother and sister in the room. The mother ran into the room because she heard her 7-year-old son screaming. She found his 2-year-old sister pulling his hair, and she, oh, my God. So she gently released the little girl's grip and said comfortingly to the little boy, "There, there. She didn't mean it. She doesn't know that it hurts, okay?" So he nodded in acknowledgement like he understood, and then she left the room. As she started down the hall, the little girl screamed. So rushing back in, she asked, "Oh, my God, what happened?" And the little boy replied, "She knows now." Amen. She know now. Amen. Kids, got to love them. Got to love them. So today I want to talk about face. Because that's what we want this little boy to do. We want him to do an about face. So he won't do that to his sister anymore. Amen. There's an American military drill called the about face. It dates from the late 19th century. Originally it meant to turn about like in the opposite direction. You think of it as like a 180. Amen. That meaning does still remain, but we also have about face commonly used figuratively to mean a complete and sudden change in position, principle, or attitude. As a verb, it means that you change your mind completely. So I want you children to hang tight because grown-ups do like to have a little bit of a background, amen, before we actually get into the scripture and, you know, looking at the text and everything. We know it's good to have a deeper understanding and, you know some things that happened ahead of time. So here in Deuteronomy 2, we're actually coming off of something else that happened. What's going on is that Moses is explaining some history, okay? You all know when you have a test, you get a Thank you. Only the grown-ups knew. They all kids should have been saying that. You get a review, right, before the test. You go over the important stuff. So that's kind of like what Moses is doing right here in Deuteronomy 2. He's telling the children of Israel, this is like changing of the guard. You know, so right now what's going to happen is they're going to no longer be under Moses, but now they're going to be under Joshua. So a new leader is coming in. The same way like when the president is coming out of office and someone else is going to be coming in, he does like a farewell address, right? So, amen. It's the same kind of thing. So that's what Moses is doing right here. So he's going over what happened. He's explaining to them that God had already made a promise that he would deliver them into the land of Canaan. That was going to be what we refer to as their promised land. So they were on their way, and they came to Kadesh Barnea, and they had sent spies into the land. But then what happened was they got afraid, and they rebelled against God. They didn't want to believe his promise. Because they sent spies into the land, and when the spies came back, they had a negative report. They said, "We see ourselves as grasshoppers in the eyesight of these men that are in this land. So we're scared." How many know fear will make you do some things that you should not do? Fear will put you in a position where you make a decision that you wouldn't normally make. Amen? And so that's where they were. They made that decision that they didn't want to believe God. So instead, they said, no, we're not going in against the land. We'll walk around a little bit longer, whatever. You know, we'll wait it out. And so God said, okay, I'm going to give you a command, another command then. Go back into the wilderness. So now they... These children, I'm telling you. So now they didn't want to do that. They're like, oh, man. So you mean we could have won a battle if we had just went in? So now they say, okay, we're ready. We're going to go. Come on, y'all. Get your stuff. We're going. Now they're getting ready. They're going to go fight the people over in Canaan because now they realize that God was going to give them the victory. So they don't have any reason to be afraid, right? All right. Well, that's not what the Lord said at that time. So when they went and they wanted to fight against the people in Canaan. You can put up that next slide, Beverly. They came out against the Amorites, and the Amorites chased them as bees do. Y'all know what that's like. Amen. So then they came back crying, but the Lord didn't hear them. It's just like when mama tell you, do them dishes. And you come up with every excuse why you shouldn't have to do the dishes. You quote statistics about dishwashing being detrimental to your health. You claim you got an injury on your finger, so you can't scrub the dishes to get them to squeaky clean like how mama like them, because you know the dishes got to be squeaky clean, otherwise they need to go back in the dishwater, right? So you're doing all of this, and without lifting a finger, without raising a voice, and without batting an eye, what does mama say? She says, okay. Now get in that kitchen and do them dishes. Amen. Isaiah's like, no, I don't want to do the dishes. Amen. Well, God pulled a mama. After all the murmuring, after all the complaining, after all the apologizing and the sacrificing and whatever else the Israelites did, God still said, okay, now go back into that wilderness, and you're not coming out until I tell you to. Amen. And that's what brings us to where we are today in this text, Deuteronomy 2. Amen. So first thing we want to think about is when you do your about face, you have to remember your previous position and how you got there. Amen. Remember your previous position. Remember how you got there. Moses is one to learn from because he knew how to help people do an about face. He knew that they needed to take a trip back down memory lane. See, today we don't have enough focus on history, but history is vital. It's vital to our present. It's vital to our circumstances. It's vital to everything that is to come. Anything that's going to come before you is going to somehow be tied to what's behind you. Amen. I know y'all have probably heard me talk before about the Sankofa burden. I'll bring that up a little bit later. But knowing where you are, where you've been, is critical to where you are going. So they had to think about that now. Moses is like, okay, y'all play ring around the rosy with this mountain for the past 38 years. How well did that go for you? Right? How well did that go for you? So they had to think about that. Amen. Now I'm going to get a little bit personal with you this morning. What same old thing have you been struggling with for what seems like forever? You keep saying English. You keep saying you'll be more disciplined. You keep saying you'll make better decisions. You keep saying you're going to prioritize things the way that they need to be prioritized, but you still haven't done it, right? You know you haven't been the best role model. You keep saying you're going to stop looking at those videos and those memes with those lewd acts. I got to keep it G-rated, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. You bully people with your words. You down people, and you know that's not right. But you feel like that's what people or your friends, whoever, they accept that. That's what they want you to do, right? So you fall into that. But you've been convicted. You've heard the word of God speaking to you about how you behave and how you, you know, conduct yourself around other people and what's in your heart. Amen? Because a lot of times, this ain't in my notes, but I'm going to say this. A lot of times we do things not necessarily because that's what's in our heart, but because we think that that's what's going to be acceptable. Or we think that that's what's going to make us appear and look a certain way. We're managing our reputation, how other people see us by what we show them. Amen? But actually, if that's not what's in your heart, then you being phony anyway. Amen. So I'm going to say this. It's easy to do the wrong thing. But baby, it takes a giant of a person to do the right thing. Especially when you do it in spite of what everybody else is doing. So we're not going to act like this is something new. You know, that I don't understand what it's like. A lot of adults in here, we understand what it's like. A lot of adults in here might still be dealing with some of this too. Amen. Let's be honest about it. Let's be honest about it. We have not arrived. We haven't done it all right. We ain't made all the best decisions, you know. But that's why we coming and praying, and that's why we seeking, and that's why we reading, and that's why we searching. You know, that's why. Because we know that we need God in order to walk this walk and talk this talk. We need God in order to be successful. We can't do it without him. Amen. Amen. I know with the children, it's hard It's got to be hard, because it was hard when we were in school. You know, you have to, in order for you to show that you're a real man, you got to look at all the girls like they're a side order on a combo meal. And I can't really be a lady and dress modestly, because I'll be mocked and laughed to scorn if I'm not putting my girlies inside a shirt so low it can fit a toddler. Am I behind in spandex or skin-tight jeans? Nobody would think I'm appealing. I'm not pretty. It was like that when I was in school, too, just so y'all know. Amen. It's not that much different. The biggest difference now probably is the internet, because now you showcase that to everybody in the world. It's not just your little community, your little school, or your block, or whatever. Now you take a picture, you put it on Instagram and Snapchat, anybody can see it. That's the biggest difference. Anybody, everybody, amen, can see it. But I'm going to tell something, especially to the ladies, and it really applies to the guys too, but you're competing against stuff that's fake, right? Can you say Photoshop? Amen. You're ruining your reputation over phoniness, because all that stuff really isn't even real. But people can only see what you put out there, right? I mean, you're talking about yourself, how you present yourself. If you think about it, excuse me, you still have people in your life, I know we definitely do, and I think that a lot of the teens may have this too, that one person who still remember when. So like when you talk about your reputation and how you manage that, you always going to have somebody that's got that remember when thing going on. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Even some of the teens got people that always bringing up a remember when. Remember when you used to pee in a bed? You know? Remember when you used to suck your thumb? Remember when your teeth was buck? I mean, like, they'll just bring up all kind of stuff. It's always some kind of remember when. I got an uncle who will always bring up about Prince. So, a little confession. Right? Like, yeah. When I was younger, I was a huge Prince fan. I couldn't find a picture. I was going to put a picture in the slide so y'all could see. I actually used to dress up like Prince and everything. Like, oh, my God. I drew a guitar, a life-size guitar. We had them. I'm going to tell you how old I am now. We had them panels on the wall in my bedroom where we lived. And so I took a permanent marker, and I drew that guitar from Purple Rain, and it looked so good. I was like, oh, yeah, and I stood back, and I admired my work and everything, and my mama came in and tore my butt up. I must have been about 13. I drew on that wall in permanent marker. So she could not wash that off. Amen. So everybody got somebody like that that's going to bring up a remember when. Remember when. Amen. The children of Israel kind of found themselves in a similar circle where they were in a land that was dominated by people that worship idols, people that it was a norm to engage in sexual promiscuity and devalue human life and degrade their women, sacrifice their children. But guess what? God still expected them to be a light. Regardless of what was going on around them, they knew the truth. They knew the truth giver. Amen. They knew the life giver. And so they didn't have any excuse to not still conduct themselves in a way that gave God glory. Amen. So they still had to manage their reputation. They still had to look at things the way that they were supposed to be seen. Warren Buffett has a saying that it takes 20 years to build a good reputation, but it really takes only 5 minutes to ruin it. Something else to go along with that is you won't get a clean reputation hanging around with some messy people. All right? Amen. Amen. So adults and children alike, keep that in mind, because who you hang around has an impact on how people see you. Amen. So first point, anybody who's taking notes, remember your previous position and how you got there. Now let's go to our second point. Reset your current position by adhering to God's commands. Reset your current position by adhering to God's commands. So we said that a figurative about face is when you change your mindset or your thought completely, right? Can't is replaced with can. Won't is replaced with will. And since you made an assessment of what went wrong in the previous position, you want to make sure that you don't repeat the same mistake, right? Amen. That's right. So I read this story of Billy, who arrived at a football game really, 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 really late. So his friend was like, "Man, Billy, what's up? Why are you so late?" And he said, "Well, I couldn't decide between going to church or going to the football game, so I decided to toss a coin." So his friend, like, scratching his head, like, "Okay, that should take that long. You was tossing a coin?" And Billy was like, "Well, yeah, I had to toss it like 35 times. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't be like Billy." Obviously, God was speaking to him, right? Clearly, the choice should have been go to church. At least on that day, maybe football game should have been for a different day, but that day, it was supposed to be go to church. I can't help but have a hilarious visual in my mind of him saying, "Okay, if it's heads, I'm going to church. It's heads. Okay, if it's tails, I'm going to church. It's tails." He just can't get past it. Amen. But you know what? That's how we are sometimes. That's how we are sometimes. We know what God is saying. We understand what his expectations are. We hear his voice. We have confirmation of what he wants us to do. We can feel it. Our spirits are settled. We sense the connection to our purpose and that bubbling excitement, you know, that comes from when we're about to embark upon something great, but we just won't do it. And that's what will go wrong. Bottom line is, change starts with you. See, resetting your position, you change your perspective. You change the way you think. Remember the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness because of their what? Wayward thinking. Because if they had just believed God to begin with and they had followed with their heart, they wouldn't have been where they were. But it was because of their wayward thinking that they ended up being where they were. God had already given them the promised land, but they didn't trust God to possess it. And so they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. So don't make the same mistakes that they did. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, it says in Philippians 4:8, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, you should think on these things. Amen. Because you serve a God who is capable. You serve a God who is able. Hallelujah. You serve a God who can take you through anything. Amen. Glory to his name. So the Israelites, they were called a rebellious and stiff-necked people. That basically meant that they were stubborn. They couldn't be led. They would not change. But you don't have to be that way. You have the ability to change. You have the word of God. You have good teaching. You have people around you that are willing to support you and help you in what you do. Amen. I used to teach in preschool and Sunday school for a while, and there was nothing more frustrating to me than a student who don't want to listen. I'm just keeping it real. Because for most of us, it's easily that it boils down to that very thing, that we don't listen. We're being disobedient. But how many know that God doesn't leave anything to chance? Amen. So when he gives you a directive, he is very specific, and he maps it all out for you. So if you go back to the text, look at 2 again. He says, he instructed the Israelites exactly how to handle the different lands that they would possess and what they would pass through and how to conduct themselves when they interacted with the people in those areas. He still does the same thing today. He is just as specific. He is just as deliberate. He is just as faithful. He is just as calculating. He is just as wise today as what he was then. Same God right now, same God back then. Amen. Amen. We're going somewhere. We're getting somewhere. We got somewhere because we've done an assessment now of the position that we were in and what got us there, right? So then we change positions or we reset our current position by adhering to God's directives. Now, we're ready to look ahead to our next position and see the future as if it was already past. Amen. See, I like the Sankofa bird because it's the one that reminds us to look back to plant seeds as we move forward. So you have to know where you've been to get to where you're going. Every destination has a starting point. Now, if you put an address in your GPS, you won't get directions until you tell the device where you are or where you're starting from. Amen. I got a story about a boy who was pretty clever. He would enter into the barber shop, and the barber whispered to the customer, "This is the dumbest kid in the world. Watch while I prove it to you." So the barber would put a dollar bill in one hand, and then two quarters in the other, and then he called the boy up and say, "Okay, which do you want, son?" So the boy would take the quarters and leave. "What did I tell you?" said the barber. "That kid never learns." So later on, the customer leaves, and he saw the same kid coming out the ice cream shop. And he says, "Hey, son, may I ask you a question? Why did you take the quarters instead of that dollar bill?" The boy licked his ice cream cone, and he looked up at him, and he said, "Because the day I take the dollar, that game is over." Amen. I told you he was a clever boy. So why did I share that joke with you? Because I know that all of our children have their own cleverness about them. You all know how to visualize. You all know how to think ahead. You all know how to see the potential outcomes before they even happen. So I know that you can picture in your mind the future that God has for you. Amen. You can see yourself crossing the finish line. You can see yourself reaching your goals. You can see that diploma, okay? And I know you can see that college degree. You can see yourself planting seeds for the ones that are going to come after you. Amen. I know I'm showing my age a little now, but that's okay. Somebody else might remember this song that I'm thinking of. It says, "Who can turn a man into a man? Who can turn a pan into a pain?" Amen. It's not too hard to see. It's the silent E. Well, I serve a God who could turn your here into your there. And there is where your victory is. And there is where your best self is. Hallelujah. And there is where your healing is. Glory to his name. There is where your is. Hallelujah. But you know what else my God can do? He can turn a no into a yes. Hallelujah. He can turn your closed door into an open window. He can turn a reject into an accept. Glory to his name. He can turn your worst into your best. Glory to God. God is the ultimate word. Yes, he is. He's a transformer. He's the only one who can take your worthlessness and instead he will give you value. He is the one who can take your confusion and instead he'll give you peace of mind. He can take your addicted spirit and instead give you a sober mind. Hallelujah. God can take your little and he can make it into much. I've seen him do it. I know John 10:10 says that the thief does not come but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Oh, but I know that Jesus has come that we might have life, but not just any kind of life, an abundant life. Hallelujah. Today we're talking to the adults. Today we're talking to the children. Today, children, you are that new generation that Moses was addressing in Deuteronomy 2. You are the ones that need to put blinders on us so much that you see around you. Not that you don't care. Not that you're unconcerned. But you have to filter. You have to live around wickedness while not giving in to wickedness. Hallelujah. My tallest son, Keani, shared with me that he is trying to be a man of God. Bless him. But I know it's not as easy as it sounds. I know that it's a struggle because by his own admission, there are things that he needs to put away and no longer do in order to give God the glory. Hallelujah. You see, you've been subjected to some bad examples. You've watched the previous generation messing up on national TV, in the news, sometimes in your school, from your perspective, maybe even in your own household. You watch them complain to God, complain about God, some people do. You watch them try to go their own way and ignore God's commands. You have literally watched people die in the wilderness. Sometimes it's been a physical death and they're no longer, but sometimes it's been a spiritual death. And while you're here, you are constantly bombarded with temptations of doing things the wrong way. So it makes it that much harder, that much more difficult to do things the right way. Because you see all this stuff around you. And like Pastor Freddie just said, what is the purpose? At this point, who's in with me? You having a moment like, I think it was, it might have been the prophets. Oh, my God, I can't call it right now. But I remember he sat, was in a cave, and he sat there. As a matter of fact, it was Elisha. He sat in the cave after he had just had the hugest victory ever. He had just challenged the gods. He had just had his God. He poured water. He drenched it, y'all. Like it was a pool of water over this thing. And he said, okay, your God can't burn it. Watch my God burn it. And God came and consumed the whole thing. It wasn't even steam when he got done. Amen. And he came into the cave after that because Jezebel said that by that time the next day, he was going to be like how he had made all of her prophets. But you know what? God had to let him know, and I'm letting you know this today too. You are not the only one. You are not the only prophet. You are not the only person standing for righteousness. You are not the only person who is abstaining. You are not the only person who is okay with living a life that is pure. You are not the only person who is not embarrassed to be a light on your job. You are not the only person who says that as for me and my house, I am going to serve the Lord and my children with me. You are not the only one. God had thousands of other prophets, and he had to let Elijah know. I have thousands who have not bowed down to Baal. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Glory to your name. You are wonderful, God. You are awesome to know that we have a God who is like that. You are worthy of our service, God. You are worthy of our praise, God. You are worthy of our worship, Lord. Glory to your name. And thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today, children, that with God, you can do all things. You can do all things well. You can do all things in a spirit of excellence. You can do things that you never would have imagined that you could do. You can do things that many would even say are impossible. The scripture lets us know that today, with God, all things are possible. Amen. I'm closing now, you are. Amen. My kids know I just watched Wonder Woman about a week ago. I know I'm a little late. I don't get a whole lot of time for movies unless I stay up and lose some sleep. Amen. But there were some nuggets that I got from that movie because she started off in such a black and white state. You know, everything was simple. It was that kind of pure faith. You know, like, if I just do this, then that's it. Evil is gone. I've rid the world of evil. Like she said, that one thing, that one spirit, if she found who he was inhabiting, got rid of him, he got rid of all the evil in the world. But by the time we get to the end of the movie, she realized it wasn't just one thing, that there was a plethora of things that she would need to do in order to really fulfill her purpose and her destiny. She also realized that she was in the war not because she picked up a weapon, but she was in the war because she's an inhabitant of this world. See, she could choose to be used of the enemy to tear down and destroy, or she could choose to use the gifts that she had, the talents that she had, the abilities that she had to help build up the people in this world. She was rattled by the fact that she was the weapon. That scene touched me. She was, what do you mean? I'm the weapon. She thought that this thing that she got from her island, that was the weapon. And then she found out she was the weapon. It rattled her. She didn't know how to handle that. That was too much for her, right? But with us, we don't have that problem. Because Jesus, that's on the inside of us, that's our weapon. Amen. That's our weapon. So we don't have to rely on our own strength. We don't have to rely on our own wisdom. We don't have to constantly assess ourselves. We don't have to be perfect, y'all. You don't have to be perfect. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you, God don't want you perfect. Because if you think you're perfect, you're going to be trying to tell him what to do. He don't want that. He wants you broken. He wants you incomplete because he wants to come in and fill the gaps. He wants to come in and fill your cup. When you're empty, God will fill you. Amen. Amen. You're without excuse. You are without excuse because in the scripture, it tells us that God knows all about our struggle. And I can assure you that he has made you ready. Once you made that about face, amen. He made you ready. You have everything you need to fight the battle. And truth be told, it's a fixed fight anyway. Because I'm one of those people, sometimes I sneak to the end of the book and see how it all ends up. And I know that in Revelation, it's very clear. We win! Hallelujah! We win! Glory to his name. And there's nothing that the devil can do about it. That's why he is so mad. Glory to his name. Let me tell you something today. When you are getting bombarded with attacks by the devil, when you feel like stuff is just crowding in around you, you're not sure what to do, guess what? All that really means is that God has built you up so much that the loot that you got, they're trying to come and take it from you. So don't let go. Amen. Hold on, because God has got you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will be with you until the very end. He does not start stuff that he will not finish. And everything that he has put into you, he has an investment. How many of y'all, if you invest some money, you just gonna let it sit there and not worry about what it do? Mm-mm. You're gonna be calling up your banker. Hello, how did the market do today? Hello, can you tell me what's going on? My investment looking all right today. You're going to be on that thing because you know what? It's valuable. That's what we are to God. We are valuable to him. He has put so much of himself on the inside of us. Glory to his name. I'm about to shout. He has put so much of himself on the inside of us. He can't afford to leave us. He would go broke. Thank you, Father God. Lord God, I just want to thank you for this time. I thank you for this about face moment, God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we are valuable to you, God. Some of us, Father, we have had experiences, Lord, where people have made us feel like we don't have any worth. But God, I thank you that we mean the world to you. I thank you, Father God, that the cattle up on a thousand hills belongs to you, Father God, and that you share everything that you have, God, that you share everything that you are, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you look upon us, oh God, with eyes of compassion in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that you understand our struggle, God. I thank you, Father God, that you are with us, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that you are for us, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that you are more than the world against us. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, we can raise up a standard. Hallelujah. That's what you said that you would do, Father God. So God, I thank you right now that even when the winds are too much, oh God, even when the water is coming up to our head, oh God, I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you are a rescuer, Father. I thank you in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that you are a deliverer, God. I thank you in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that we call you faithful. I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are holy, oh God, that you are righteous, oh God, that you are wonderful, oh God, that there's nobody like you, God, and to you there's nobody like us. So God, we thank you for how much you love us. In Jesus' name, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Confess that today. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.